It is time to brighten our day, and that is, no doubt about it, bringing in Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, who joins us on a Monday morning. Good morning, Arthur.
Good morning, and good morning.
And good morning, and you knew...
It's actually, for a change, a nice morning here. It's been starting out very gray.
All right, well, we're working our way up to you, babe.
Oh, okay, well... So I have a story.
No. Use the word.
A saga, I was going to say, but it's a little too royal for me.
Oh, no, I like saga.
I'm not even sure how I got this into my head, but I became fixated on Greek gigantes, which are these very, very large beans. They're bigger than the biggest lima bean. And they don't have tough skins, although the skin is nice and keeps the whole thing together. But they have extraordinarily creamy interiors. And I've eaten these many, many times in many different Greek situations. But I thought, I should make these. However, it is really hard to get the beans, gigante beans. And I know if I went to Queens to Astoria, or I would find out what store to go to before I even left. I'm sure there's a store in Queens that sells these beans, but there's no place in Brooklyn. And so I went online. Isn't that what everybody does these days? And sure enough, there they were on Amazon. And actually, I think there were several sources on Amazon. I'm not sure why I picked the one I picked. I'd have to go back and look again. And so I ordered them. They were not cheap. They were, it was either $12 or $13 for a 2-pound bag. It's a lot of beans, although I cooked a pound and a half of them yesterday, so I only have a half left. And we did a good job on eating a lot of them. Anyway, not just two people, though. Anyway, point is, I ordered the beans, and I get a choice. Do I want these beans delivered to my home, which is going to take way longer than almost anything I've ever ordered on Amazon. I don't remember exactly how many days, but long. Or I could have them delivered to a locker at the Whole Foods store on the corner of 3rd Avenue and 3rd Street in Gowanus. Everybody laughs when I say something is in Gowanus, but Gowanus used to be a dark hole in Brooklyn.
And now it is not.
No, it's becoming very one of the new hipster central.
Yep.
A lot of creative people. I shouldn't make fun of that because it's really fabulous what's happening there. There are a lot of creative people who've moved in. It's a place for distilleries and breweries. There's a lot going on in Gowanus. So, including Whole Foods. This store is maybe a year or so old. If everybody doesn't remember, Amazon bought Whole Foods within the last year, and I went right away to see how did Amazon change it. And in fact, at that point, this is what, 6 months ago or so? I don't remember how long ago Amazon bought it. Do you? Anyway, it was within the last year. The only thing that was different was the prices were slightly better. In some cases, maybe more than slightly better. They were better. So I have this thing delivered to a locker. It's a new experience for me. At Whole Foods, I didn't even know what the locker was, except I vaguely recall when I went there after Amazon bought it, I vaguely recall seeing these lockers but not knowing what they were about. So now I find out, they say online, if you choose to have it delivered to the locker, it's way fewer days for delivery than if you have it sent to your home. So I'm figuring, I really want to eat these beans. I really want to cook these beans. The sooner I get the beans, the better. So I decide to do the locker experience. And it wasn't a bad experience, except it did not come within a couple of days. It took a good week.
That's what I was going to ask. How long did it take from wanting them to actually having them in your hand?
About a week. I could go back on my computer and calculate this, but I'm not going to. I'm thinking it was 5 to 7 days, and about the same time, maybe a day or two less than if I'd had them delivered at home. But then they didn't tell me that the beans were in the locker until Thursday, and that was okay. But then on Friday, I got an email from Amazon saying if I didn't pick them up by Saturday, they were going to send them back. So don't ask what went on here on Friday. Park Slope is being dug up, it seems, from one end to the other and many cross streets. In fact, I'm sitting in my kitchen suffocating. Now I think I can open the window now. I couldn't open the window before because it was so noisy outside. You would have heard it on the radio. Anyway, so I go to Amazon, and here's how that works. They give you a how to get. Oh, so Friday, the reason I say I didn't pick them up on Friday, even though I was out and about in the car, is because I just did a few errands in the car, and I ended up on 13th Street. I live on what might be the equivalent to minus 4th Street, so a mile away. And it took me an hour to get home, because every other street that I wanted to go down was being blocked either by a moving van or a construction of some kind. It was one block where they had dumped a whole truck full of sand in the middle of the street so nobody could go down. I mean, I guess that was to fill in the many of the holes that they're digging all around here. And here comes the noise again. It was a few minutes of quiet. Anyway, the locker is, so you put a code number in to an electronic panel, you know, a digital panel, and then it's very funny. On the screen, it says, "Step away. Your locker is opening." I guess if it's a really big locker and the door opens, it could hit you in the head. And this has probably happened, which is why they have this warning. But my beans were only in a little sliver of a locker. It opened and I got my beans. It was okay. But in the meantime, I did do some shopping at Whole Foods and discovered that I don't think the produce is... I sort of judge places by fresh food, not what groceries are on the shelf.
Yeah.
And I didn't find the produce as appealing or as fresh, is really what I want to say, as it could be and should be. And I wanted some to cook the beans. I was going to buy, it's good that I didn't, I was going to buy some red peppers to roast and put in with my beans. This is one of the many, 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 many recipes there are, I discovered, I'm sure there are even more, for cooking these enormous beans in Greek beans. So one way is with roasted peppers. So I didn't buy them. They were like $4 a pound. They looked shriveled. I wasn't going to put that in my gorgeous, expensive beans. So I decided, well, I'll just go to another store to get the beans. Oh, by the way, so the meat department, I couldn't believe how inexpensive what looked like pretty good meat was at Whole Foods. I may go back to buy meat one day. And the other thing is they do have certain groceries that you're not going to find anywhere else. And unbelievably, I found a jar of, I think they're called Fiorini peppers, Greek peppers. I'll get to Diane Kouchilis in a minute, but Diane is the... I guess you'd have to say the American expert. She has a Greek name, and she grew up in New York, but she is the Greek. She lives in Greece for most of her adult life. She is the expert on Greek food. Anyway, they're called. I'm trying to see if I can find the. Yeah, Florini peppers. I keep making everything Italian. They're called Florini peppers. They're a variety of pepper. And for $6, it wasn't even $6, I think it was $5.49, I bought a jar of roasted Florini peppers from Greece, packed in the lightest of I guess you'd say brine, a little vinegar in there, but very little. They were not at all affected. The basic taste of the pepper was not affected by the vinegar. So I found, and they were already roasted, and... I'd never experienced these before, so I opened the jar. There were three enormous peppers in this jar for $5 and change. That's probably less, even though it seemed like a lot for a jar of roasted peppers in the supermarket. it's probably a lot less than if I'd bought fresh peppers and roasted them. And they wouldn't have been these special and very sweet florini peppers. So I didn't know. And I, at that point on, I guess it was Saturday, I didn't really decide yet how I was going to exactly cook all these beans. It was my Sunday project. And thank God I didn't cook them all, because it comes out to be a lot of beans. Anyway, I used one of the peppers just to taste it, slivered up, and I served it with burrata, which I can now buy pretty good, made by a company here in Brooklyn, but actually made in New Jersey. But it's a Leoni, L-I-O-N-I. So they're very well distributed. You may see their plastic tubs of burrata in your market, and it's pretty good. It's not my the best burrata I've ever had, but you know, it's pretty good. So we had, because we knew we were going to friends for dinner, and I knew we were going to have a big dinner, we just had a burrata, a 4-ounce ball of burrata, and some a little tomato salad and cut up pepper. So they were very good, but I only, that only left me with two peppers to cook my beans. And Diane Kochelis' recipe calls for four. But let me tell you, I put in the two. They were very big. I think it did the job. And I'll give you the recipe in a minute. So that was, I finally got the beans, and I finally got the peppers. And I was, and the only other thing I needed was dill. I had this feeling I needed to have my beans with dill. I think probably I've had them with dill more than not. And Diane Kochelis' basic recipe is not one with dill. It's the one with sweet pepper. So now let me tell you a little bit about Diane. Diane grew up in Queens, but her parents were Greek-born, and every summer they would go back to, I forget the name of the island, where they came from, where her parents came from. And they would summer on this Greek island. And Diane eventually fell in love with and married her childhood friend from the island. They have, I think, two children now. They've been married a long time. Diane's been married a long time now. And she lives partly on this island still and in Athens. And for years, I think 20 years, she was the columnist for the largest circulation English language paper in Greece. And I think she may actually have been in the Greek paper as well. She had a TV show. She's written, I think, 7 cookbooks. Now, I only have 4, but they were, every one of them, of course, has a recipe. So isn't that a great romantic story, though, about Diane?
Yes, it is.
And she comes to New York very frequently because she was the consultant at a restaurant downtown that I used to love. I haven't been there in years. It's probably still very good. Pylos, P-Y-L-O-S, is a very atmospheric small Greek restaurant. I think it's East 7th Street, between 1st Avenue and Avenue A. It's East Village, very gentrified street now. When they moved there, it wasn't so. I think it's still there, and I think it's still highly regarded. And the other place she was a consultant was Molivos, which is in the theater district. It's on 7th Avenue, I believe, in like 52nd Street, something like that, right in Midtown. And I haven't been there since Diane became the consultant. I suspect there's some very interesting food there now. And by the way, that restaurant, Molivos, is owned by the Livanos family. Obviously, they're Greek, too. So I think they all have high respect for Greek food. I love Greek food, except for one thing. Even in Greece, too much oil. I don't want to make the joke Greek food is greasy, but Greek food is oily. Now, the Greeks do have great olive oil, so I don't mind having an excess of great olive oil, usually. But in the recipes for gigantes that I was reading, even in Diane's book, and Diane understands, I know Diane, I know she understands the American thing about large quantities of oil, but still, she likes to do authentic recipes. And in fact, her masterpiece, as far as I'm concerned, is not her first book. Her first, which I think was written, like, I could look it up here. It's, I think, 2000. That was called The Food and Wine of Greece. 300 Recipes, a big book. But the masterpiece to me is a book called The Glorious Foods of Greece. And The Glorious Foods of Greece came much later. I believe it won an award. I know it won an award for the research. And it's an extraordinary work because Diane goes to every island where there's more than a population of two, I guess. I mean, some of these Greek islands are really very underpopulated. She goes to the islands and of course, on the mainland, every area of Greece, and writes about, not just gives the recipes for, but actually writes about the food. And, you know, you have to think, it's, by the way, this book is 2001, so it's already, what, 17 years ago. By the way, this book is a very big book, and it is very dense. It has a lot of history and everything I want from a cookbook. It's almost 500 pages. Has a lot of how-to, like Joy of Cooking for Greek cooks. You know, how to buy phyllo dough, how to butter phyllo, how to clean artichokes. A lot of how-to and what-about stuff, which I love. But also, it's organized by area, Crete, the Dodecanese. I don't know how you say these things, so I always pronounce them Italian. The Cyclades, I know how to say that one, because one of my favorite restaurants, and maybe my favorite restaurant in Astoria, is called Cyclades.
It's not so far. Italy to Greece is not so far.
No. And, of course, you know, I gravitate to this because the ingredients are the same.
Right.
We don't have gigantes in Italy, but there are, and I bought them once in Sarconi. There's a town in Basilicata called Sarconi, which is famous for beans. And I went to a bean farm in Sarconi where they had these enormous lima-shaped beans, but they were purple. They were mottled, white and purple. They did not cook up as creamy as the Greek ones. Now, by the way, the beans that I got doesn't tell me on the bag where they're actually from. I don't know where they were grown, but it's from a company called Olive Nation. I probably could look this up if you want to bother while we're on the air. They have a website, olivenation.com. They're also known as jrmushrooms.com. And they're in Charlestown, Massachusetts. But it's possible the beans were grown in Massachusetts, but because New England grows a lot of beans. But I don't know. They were very good. Cooked up, they were very, very good. So I made two recipes. I made the easiest possible, which is the one from The Glorious Foods of Greece, and that's the one with the sweet red peppers. Now, it's interesting, from 1990, when she wrote her first book, to 2001, when I'm pretty sure this book was published, I'm going to look up one more time just to make sure I'm not giving fake news. Anyway, from the first book, there was no availability, obviously, of gigantes anywhere, not even in Astoria, because Diane calls for lima beans, for large lima beans. In 2001, when she wrote The Glorious Foods of Greece, obviously there were giant beans around because she's got a recipe and she doesn't even offer a subset. Well, she does butter beans. I'm not sure what butter beans are.
They're horrible.
Well, maybe if I cook them like gigantes, you would like them.
Do you like Marshall? Do you like lima beans?
There's a tiny bit more to the saga.
Keep
is
going.
That we went to friends for dinner, but we also drank a lot of wine on Saturday. And as soon as I walked in the door, they were neighbors, so I just walked home. But as soon as I walked into the door, I totally plotzed and went to sleep, and then woke up at 2:30 in the morning reminding myself that I'd forgotten to put the beans up to soak. So 2:30 in the morning, I put the beans up to soak, and that way I was able to cook them at 10:30 the next morning on Sunday morning. So you need to soak the beans in cold water, I start, with at least 6 hours, but preferably eight, a full overnight soak. You want to go 10, that's okay too. I read somewhere, not in Diane's book, but some Greek person online said she likes to put the beans up when she wakes up in the morning, and then she cooks them in the afternoon. Well, that's a good way to do it too. I'm usually too tired to cook in late afternoon. In any case, So for a half a pound of giant beans, you cover them with water, well, with many, you know, several inches of water above, because they will grow. And when they're soaked, you can pour out the water. In this case, I do pour out that soaking water. Many beans I don't, but I did this case because everybody says to. And then I put fresh water in, covering the beans in a pot, by about two or three inches of water, and a bay leaf, and you bring it to a boil, and you let them simmer for an hour. Not furiously boil, just simmer for an hour. Meantime, chop up two large red onions. I mince everything, you know. I mean, there's a recipe I made yesterday that called for finely chopped onions. So, I don't know. I find mincing very meditative. So I minced the onion as fine as I could, two large red onions, and they get sautéed. You can do this while the beans are cooking, if you want. At least, I would say, 3 tablespoons of olive oil. You can even use 1/4 cup of olive oil. I'm not going to add oil at the end, which is what Diane does. She adds a huge, and a lot of Greek recipes I see, they do this. They, after the whole thing is all together, and you're going to bake it in the oven, which is what we're going to do here, they pour in a huge amount of oil. So I wasn't going to pour in a huge amount of oil, or even any oil for that matter. So I used a little generous amount to saute the onions. So you saute the onions, takes, I don't know, 7 or 8 minutes stirring them over medium high heat. And they're not going to brown. You don't want them to brown, but they're going to very well wilt. So now you have boiled beans and your onion. And to the onion, add your peppers. Now, Diane calls for an interesting ingredient that when I do go to Queens, I'm going to have to look for. These Florini peppers are dried, and you can buy them dried. And she says four of them cut into half-inch rings. Or I also read that, maybe it must have been in Diane's book, that these peppers are also preserved under oil. So you may find those in a grocery somewhere, roasted Greek peppers under oil. Anyway, you need, as I said, use these two very large peppers that I bought in a jar, and I sauteed them along with the onions. I diced them and sauteed them along with the onions for about 2 minutes, 3 minutes after the onions were already tender. And then I added the drained beans, but don't throw away the liquid. I actually left it all in the pot and just used a slotted spoon to transfer the beans into the, I put this into, by the way, a ceramic baking dish. It doesn't have to be ceramic, but it goes into a baking pan, or a baking dish, I should say. And so you put the beans in, and then enough of the cooking liquid from the beans to just cover the beans. Salt and pepper. I put in a generous amount of salt. At this point, the beans were at least half cooked. I put in maybe a good teaspoon of salt and a nice amount, maybe a half teaspoon. Actually, my cousin Ellen, who ate it, said it could use more pepper. So let's say a half teaspoon of ground pepper. And that's it. You stick it in a 350-degree oven and covered. If you don't have a cover, a piece of foil over the top of your baking dish is just fine. And I found them at 350. All of Diane's recipes call for cooking them for an hour to an hour and a half. Mine were more like 2 hours. And I think it really depends on the quality of the beans and how old the beans were. My beans have a last date of sale. It's like next year sometime. So I'm assuming that they're fairly recently harvested, but who knows? And, so it really depends. But what you want in the end is an extremely creamy bean. You do not want any trace of al dente-ness, no firmness whatsoever. They should, and if they're not done in 2 hours, leave them in for 2 hours and 15 minutes. By the way, I found that my liquid did not evaporate or reduce, I should say, because it's covered, so it doesn't really evaporate that much, but didn't reduce after an hour or so, an hour and 15 minutes, as much as I really wanted it to. I wanted it to be a little thicker. So I uncovered the dish in the oven. And actually, at the very end, I left the dish in the turned-off oven until we went to the table. And I think that did them good. I can't wait to eat the leftovers today because I'm sure these are going to be even better today. So the other recipe I made was the really most elaborate of all Diane's recipes. And in the end, we loved the simple one. Those sweet peppers really made it deliciously sweet without any added sweetness. But this really complicated, not complicated, but more elaborate recipe is with honey and dill. And it ends up being slightly sweet and sour, but really slightly. You cook the beans the way I said before. You just boil them up with a bay leaf or two. And in this case, you're going to use two medium-sized red onions, chopped, finely chopped, and sauté them in about 3 tablespoons of olive oil. And then you add, and I had fresh tomatoes, you add 3 cups of chopped plum tomatoes. I had fresh ones, and good fresh ones, but actually didn't have enough to make 3 cups, so I ended up adding a cup's worth of canned ones. So you want 3 cups if they're fresh ones, you have to peel them. I don't bother seeding tomatoes, not plum tomatoes, no. And then you add back as much water from the boiling of the beans, bean water, as you need to just cover the beans, 3 tablespoons of honey, and bake the beans again at least, I think, 2 hours until they're tender, and the sauce is going to be thick and creamy, but you can enhance the sauce even more now by adding 1/4 cup of red wine vinegar. There's your sour part. 2 tablespoons of tomato paste, which I feel thickens it a little bit as well, and I dissolved my tomato paste in my red wine vinegar. And then, here's my dill, 1 cup, it's a lot of dill, 1 cup of loosely packed chopped fresh dill. I found that was almost a whole bunch of the, I must say, very good dill I was able to buy at Whole Foods. It was extremely, it was so fragrant that I smelled it. I didn't even have to look for it. I just used my nose to find it on the...
Better look at the clock.
It was one of the few things at Whole Foods that really was special, I thought, was the dill.
It looked whole.
So that's it. You stir in when the beans are like almost done, but not quite. But, yeah, even quite. Because it's really hard, I find hard to overcook these beans. You stir in the cup of dill, the vinegar, I dissolved the tomato paste in the vinegar, and, of course, taste it for salt and pepper. You're probably going to have to add salt and pepper at this point, too. Remember, beans should not be cooked with salt until they're almost done. And also, the acid, I find, in this dish, made these beans, I've
Arturo.
Talked about this before, they took a little longer than the ones that didn't have tomato in them.
Well, we're out of time.
I know we're out of time, but
okay,
we also finished the recipe.
Yeah,
so okay.
I just keep going.
And anybody can buy, I'm sure anybody can buy, it's called The Greek Vegetarian by Diane Kochelis, which has the elaborate one, and also a beautiful picture of her on the cover, and the really impressive research job, all the Greek islands, the glorious foods of Greece.
And for people listening, they can get the full recipe just by going to On Demand at robinhoodradio.com. Click on Arthur Schwartz.
Oh, that's right.
And there it is.
Right. So
I forget about that.
Yeah. Don't.
Yeah, and I no, I shouldn't. And I also, I think I do recipes slow enough and repeat enough that people can remember I've been doing this for too long.
Yeah.
All right. Lots of love. And
well, what you should say is enjoy your beans.
Fine. Enjoy your beans. And butter beans are geographic lima beans.
Yeah, let's forget. Bob was very cute. He said something about maybe because we saw beans in the market, the Peruvian beans, they called them. I said, just remember, lima refers to Lima.
That's right.
They're from Peru.
Yes.
Originally.
Not Ohio. Okay.
Before they ever existed in Greece, they existed in Peru.
All right, Arthur.
Take care.
Take care. Arthur Schwartz, the food maven this morning here on The Breakfast Club on Robinhood Radio. Underwriting support for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven from Hathaway Young, located on South Center Street in Millerton, Flawless Catering and Event Planning, HathawayYoung.com. John Andrews Restaurant on the Hillsdale Road in South Egremont, 413-528-3467. On the web, jarestaurant.com. Rubiner's Cheesemongers and Grocers on Main Street in Great Barrington, 413-528-0488, Rubiner's.com. In Hillsdale, New York, Hillsdale Home Chef with two beautiful teaching classes, and they've got classes to go in those cooking rooms. More information, 518-325-7000, hghshomechef.com. And Haven Cafe in Lenox, Massachusetts, offering quality food and excellent service. From a fresh cup of great coffee to healthy, delicious breakfast, or sit down with a dinner with a tasty, life-enhancing meal that you can take home. Also, they feature catering. Supporting local organic farmers, environmentally conscious, and epicurious distributors, havencafebakery.com.